Thanks, Christine. There is a sermon outline in your newsletter if you'd like to follow along. I also wanted to mention that we got an email from Mike and Robin Young, who are our missionaries in Nepal. They work with United Missions Nepal, and they do amazing work with the community and with children's health and all sorts of things. They wrote just to say they're looking over the different churches' support that they've been giving, and they just want to give thanks to you all. Because we originally pledged $515, I think. I don't know how we came up with that figure. That's what they got. We pledged $515 to support them each year, and they just realised over 2011 to 2012, All Saints has actually committed $5,700. And so they just wanted to say thank you, because the inflation rate there is pretty difficult to work with, and they really need the funds. So it's just great to see you giving generously towards the work of United Missions Nepal and through Interserve, which is who they went over with. So just wanted to mention that. I forgot to mention it before. So there's a sermon outline there about, we're talking about trust as disciples of Jesus. And I'll get my clicker so I can click through things. The first question I wanted to ask, two questions to begin with. Who do you trust and why? Just have a think about that. Who do you trust and why do you trust them? Just have a think. Maybe one or two, three people in your life that you trust. Why do you trust them? What is it that makes you be able to have faith or trust in them? When you choose to trust someone, is it something that just happens, do you think? Or is it something that grows over a period of time? What do you think? When you decide to trust someone, do you just trust them and that's it? Or does that trust grow sometimes? Yeah. And other times, yep. Usually it takes time. So, a spouse, a teacher, a mechanic, still learning to trust ours. that's a long journey. When I went to Macquarie Uni, which I realised yesterday was two decades ago, they were building these multi-level concrete car parks because they had very little parking on the grounds. And they took months to construct them all, and when they finished, there were these machines they brought in, and all we heard for the next 4 weeks was this really loud banging. This is bang, bang, bang. I thought, what on earth are they doing? And apparently, these machines they brought in were stress testers. They certainly were stress testers for me. They were just all for a month. Apparently, these machines were there to bang the concrete and make sure they didn't fall down. At least that's what I was told. I thought, well, that's a good thing, actually, isn't it, if you're going to park your car on a multi-level car park, to know that it can actually handle it, because that sort of trust in something like that often has to go under stress. So the trust is there. Trust grows through those times of stress. And that's, do you think that's something that's true? That it's under times of stress that you actually learn to trust someone or grow in your trust of them. Maybe that's true for you. Well, the passage today is about trust. Passage today about some people who are prepared to follow Jesus, but when we watch these people who call themselves disciples, the question we're sort of forced to ask as we read that passage is, they follow Jesus, but do they trust Jesus? And there's a difference. That's what I want us to think about today. Following Jesus, trusting Jesus. Are you someone who follows and trusts Jesus, or are you just someone who follows? Let's have a look at the two people. Have a look at verse 19. If you've got your Bibles open there, Matthew chapter 8, verse 19. Teacher of the law calls out to Jesus, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And what does Jesus say to him? He says, "I don't have anywhere to sleep tonight. I don't have a place to lay my head. Everyone else has a home, but I don't. If you're going to follow me, it's going to be difficult. Because you won't even know where you're going to sleep tonight." Another disciple, see that? Another disciple, verse 21, calls out, "I've just got to bury my father, then I'll follow you." Now what he probably means by that, he's not in the middle of a funeral that's happening. Hang on a sec, I'll just finish this and I'll be there. He's more likely that his father's old. He's looking after him as a good son, caring for his father. And when his father eventually passes on, he'll bury him and then he'll be able to follow Jesus. It's more likely the sort of thing that happened in those days, just looking after it. Either way, Jesus says to him, it has to be now. You can't put off following me. Following me actually involves sacrifice. Jesus is not being uncaring. What he's saying to these two disciples is, if you want to follow me, then it means you're going to have to trust me. You're going to have to trust me that you're going to have somewhere to sleep tonight. That I'm going to look after your basic needs. You're going to have to trust me that I'm going to look after your family. You can't put off following me just to look after your family. Following me is first, I will look after your family. Following me is first, I will look after your basic needs. Because following me, Jesus says, means trust. It's not just following. There are two disciples we're told about. Disciples who are struggling to trust. They're following, but they're learning to trust. And next we're told that Jesus gets into a boat to go to the other side of the lake, and his disciples follow him. We don't know if those two disciples are among the number that followed him. Who knows? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. But Jesus gets into the boat with his disciples. They follow him. That's what disciples do, isn't it? And they go across the lake to the other side. And what happens? Well, Jesus falls asleep. Good thing to do. He's had a busy day. Preaching, healing, doing all those sorts of things. And a huge storm comes up that is so fierce that the disciples are afraid for their life. They think they're going to drown. And these are men. Some of these men are actually seasoned fishermen. And they're afraid. This storm is on a lake and the waves are washing over the boat. They think they are going to die. So this is a huge storm. You just imagine how big it would be. And what's Jesus doing? Sleeping. I reckon I could have slept through a storm this morning after a week of Hawk. He was obviously very tired, but he's asleep in the boat. Seasoned fishermen think they're going to drown and they are scared and they wake Jesus up. Have a look at what they say to him. They call out to him, Jesus, there's a big storm. We're all going to drown. What are you doing? Wake up. Help us. Do something. Fair enough, right? Guy's asleep on your boat. He's performed all these miracles before. You're about to drown and he's asleep on the boat. And Jesus wakes up. And what does he say to them? You of little faith. Sort of an endearing term, actually. You of little faith. Why are you so afraid? Why? You of little faith. He could say that to me any day, I reckon. You of little faith. You, the one with a little bit of faith. Why are you so afraid? You follow me onto this boat. Yeah, you don't trust me that I'll look after you? You get in this boat with me to go across the other side and you think I'm going to let you drown? I'm right here. Where's your faith? Where's your trust in me? I wonder if you remember those wristbands that were sold probably about 10 years ago. They had the letters WWJD. Yeah, what would Jesus do? Do you remember those? Oh, good. No one this morning remember them. These little wristbands you put on, and the idea is that if you came across a difficult situation in life, whatever it might be, you'd remember the wristband, and what would Jesus do? You'd ask yourself that question. The most stolen item at Coorong bookshops, actually. Allegedly. But it's a great thing, isn't it, to ask yourself as a Christian? If you're following Jesus, you're getting yourself into a difficult situation and you think, what would Jesus do in this situation? I'm following Jesus. I ask myself, what would Jesus do in this situation? So, for example, you're at a wedding. They run out of wine. What would Jesus do? So you go and turn the water into wine. No, not quite like that, right? If you're in a situation where you think you might be doing the wrong thing, this guy at work's really being a bit of a pain to me, what would Jesus do? Would Jesus punch him in the face? Or would Jesus love him? And you come up with an answer, hopefully the right one. But there's a good thing, isn't it, to remember that. But following Jesus is not just about, being a disciple of Jesus is not just about following a way of life. It's not just about thinking, well, what's Jesus' code of ethics? It's not just about making choices. It's not just about coming to a fork in the road and saying, well, which way would Jesus go, and just following that direction. It's about trust. It's not just about following the decision, but trusting Jesus while you're following. It's about following him and trusting him every step of the way. I remember giving a driving lesson to someone once, a friend of mine, a few years younger than me. And let me tell you, I got into the car with him, And from the first second I stepped in that car, I did not trust him at all. Anyone ever given a driving lesson? It's all those people still shaking slightly. Yeah. I drove along with him with one hand on the handbrake and the other hand on the door handle. That was every driving lesson I had with him, and followed by a wheel alignment on my car. It was a frightening experience. I didn't trust him. I would follow him into the car, but I had my plan B. I had a plan of escape. And don't we do that to God? Yeah, I'll follow Jesus, but I've got my plan of escape. I've got my plan B in case things get bad. See, that's not trust. Following Jesus and trusting him means you follow that path and you continue to trust him every step of the way, even when it's hard. In fact, Jesus is not only your plan A, he's your plan B and your plan C and D. That's trust. We don't just follow Jesus, but we trust him as we follow. So let's have a look at what happens next in this story. Jesus wakes up. He stands up in the boat. I reckon a fairly brave thing to do in a storm that big. He stands up in the boat and he says to the wind and the waves, "Be quiet." And they are calm. You can hear that wind outside now. Be quiet. That would have been impressive, wouldn't it? But you know, we can't do that because we don't have power over the wind and the waves. Not like Jesus. Everything stops. It's completely calm. And the men were amazed. And what do they ask? It's a great question they ask. They say, "What kind of man is this? What kind of man is this?" What kind of man is Jesus? He's obviously powerful, isn't he? Powerful over the wind and the waves. And often people think that Jesus performed these miracles just to show his power. He heals the sick, he casts out demons, he raises the dead, he does all these miracles, calms control over nature. Often it's easy to think Jesus just wanted to show his power over these things. But why did he want to show his power? Why? Do you follow someone just because they're powerful? It's not enough, is it? It's what they do with that power. Jesus wanted to show his power to show that he had the power and he used that power to look after us. So yes, he said to show the disciples, "I have power over the wind and waves," but more than that, he showed them, "I have power over the wind and waves to protect you. I have power over the wind and waves to keep you safe. I have power over the wind and waves. You follow me, you trust me, I will look after you, and I have the power to look after you. I don't have the power to just, I'm not going to use my power to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm using my power so you can trust me, to show you that I care for you and I love you and I'm looking after you." The miracles that Jesus did were to show his power, but to show us how he used his power to care for us. So we don't have just a God who is powerful. We have a God who uses that power for our good. That's someone you can trust. For some people, I think Jesus is just someone to follow. He's just a good idea. He's someone who has good morals, a good code of ethics, a good take on life. And so to follow him, it doesn't need trust. It's a good way of life, isn't it? Love your neighbour. Do to others as you have done to yourself. But what good is that? Being a disciple, if it's just about following, you can get to the end of your life and say, "Well, I haven't got anything to lose following Jesus, have I? I've still lived a good life." And that's all it is. It's a good life. But where does it get you? I think a lot of people get to that stage where they say, "Well, I've got nothing to lose. I might as well follow Jesus. It seems like a good idea." I wonder if you remember that verse we had for Hawk this year. Can we go click to the next slide? It will not be working. Only Jesus has the power to save. His name is the only one in all the world that can save anyone. Following Jesus isn't about having nothing to lose. Look at that verse. Following Jesus is about having everything to lose. If you follow Jesus, you lose nothing. You gain eternal life. If you don't follow Jesus, you lose everything. Following Jesus is not about having nothing to lose. It's about having everything to lose. And that's why following Jesus is more. Being a disciple of Jesus is not just about following a way of life. It's about trusting each step of the way. That no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult life might be, we follow and trust in someone who not only has the power, but wants to protect us and care for us with that power. We have someone who, think about what are the areas of your life where you find hard to trust God with. Maybe it's relationships or family or work or finances, whatever it is. You're not just putting your trust in some guy who seemed to live a good life and crossing your fingers and hope he might be able to do something. You're putting your faith in someone who claims to be God. God on earth. Someone who could heal the sick because he made us. Someone who could control the wind and the waves because he made the wind and the waves. Someone who has power over death because he himself overcame death when he was crucified. That's who we put our trust in. Not only someone with that power, but someone who says, I use that power for your good. So I want to finish today just by asking us to think about maybe just one area of your life where you struggle to trust Jesus. In our online poll this week, a lot of people mentioned finances and relationships as the things they really struggle with. Health wasn't too much of an issue for people. That's interesting, isn't it? That we, from the online results, that we have, it's very easy to hand our health over to God, possibly because we have no control of it anyway. But when it comes to our finances, to our relationships, where we have some control over those things, maybe that's harder to hand over because we've got such a hold on it. So what are the things that you struggle to trust Jesus with? You follow him, but you struggle to trust him with. Just think about those things for a moment. And just think about those disciples on the boat. Disciples who were struggling to trust Jesus. Jesus wasn't having a go at them. He was just simply stating where they were at. You have little faith. They were learning to trust. They were following Jesus, and as they followed, they were learning about his power. They were learning who he is. They were learning to trust him. They were learning that when they were out of food, he could provide food. That when they were on a boat in a storm, that he could calm the storm. They were learning again and again. So think about that area of your life that you struggle to trust Jesus with. And I want to give you just something practical to take away to think about. This is what's helped me. Is when I've struggled to hand over to God trust him with, for example, my relationships or my finances. What's been really helpful for me is to hand over something. Something small, perhaps. So hand over one relationship. Hand over a small part of my financial planning. Hand over a small part of my career. And trust him with that. And learn that he's faithful. So if you're struggling, don't think, I struggle with trusting God with my finances. Don't think you have to take all your finances and hand it over to God. I mean, that's what he wants. But sometimes it can take time to get there. Because we're human, we're sinful, we fail again and again. Hand over a little bit. And hand over a little bit more. And one day, keep praying for that day, and God will allow that to happen for you. God will be the one working in your heart to allow you to do that. Hand over more and more. Learn to trust him. He's a faithful God. He's not going to say to you, look, you haven't handed over everything to me, or kick you out, that's it. He does want that. He wants your whole life. But if you're struggling with those parts, don't just, oh, it's too hard, never going to do it. Hand over something today. Hand over something small today. Relationships. Think of one that you can trust God with. Hand it over to him. Think of one area of your career that you're struggling with. Think of one issue in your family that you're wrestling with. Hand it over to God. Pray about it. Trust him no matter how difficult things get. And ask for him to just continue to build that trust in you. Two questions to finish with, I hope are helpful. When you're struggling with those things, when you're struggling to hand over even a little bit, ask yourself, who is this man? Who is this man, Jesus? Remind yourself of who he is. He said he was God. He had the power over all things. Of course he has the power over those little things in your life. Just we need to be reminded of that. Who is this man? If you don't know, if you're not sure, why don't you come and talk to me? Enroll in one of our Christianity courses and learn more about this man. Second question is, can I trust him? I'm guessing if you ask that question, you'll be able to answer it pretty quickly. Can I trust him? Yes, you can. Because he's completely faithful. He's never broken a promise. Start with the small things. Build your trust. So when those big storms in life come along, you're ready to hand it over to him. Let God allow you to put more trust in him. Let God build your trust in him. Let's pray now. And I just ask you to just keep thinking of that one particular area of your life that you're struggling with, the one part that you're not sure of, the one part you have struggled to trust him with. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word and for this reminder that disciples are not just people who follow you, but people who put their trust in you. And we think now of the areas of our life that we struggle with personally, where we are people of little faith, where we are really working hard to hand things over to you. Maybe we don't trust you because we don't know you well enough. Maybe we don't trust you because we're just a little bit sinful, a lot sinful. Father, we just pray for this particular area of our life where we're struggling to trust you, whether it's our relationships, our health, our finances, our career, our family, whatever it is. Help us, Lord, today to hand a little bit more over to you. And tomorrow a little bit more, and the day after a little bit more. That we may build our trust in you and be shown through your work in our life that you are a faithful God who has power over all things and who cares for us deeply. Lord, help us to trust, grow our trust in you, that we may be disciples of Jesus every day of our life. And we pray this in his name. Amen.